So the epistle for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God saith anathema to Jesus, and no man can say the Lord Jesus but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto prophets. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit worketh, divided to every one according as he will. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 18. At that time Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee standing prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because every one that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Please be seated. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, in this Mass, we have the famous account in the Gospel. And granted, maybe many times we have considered and thought about pride and humility. But in some ways, I think it is very good for us just to consider these two concepts. One, because pride was the beginning of man's revolt against Almighty God. Because of pride, we see that Satan, non serviam, I will not serve. But then also from that, Adam and Eve also were unwilling to follow God's commands, be obedient to him because of pride. And then a large way we can see with modern man, the same problem exists. They don't think they really need God at all. They are sufficient without God. And so, yes, very clearly we can see the vanity and the pride of the Pharisee. I mean, yes, it's a direct account that our Lord gives to us. It's very evident of how he goes about it. And that's one of the things that I think also is important for us to see. Yes, I mean, it's a very, very clear case for us. Arms outstretched, speaking in a loud voice, praising himself, basically trashing everyone around him. And so, yes, he takes this opportunity to promote himself, talking about what he gives to the church, talking about his fasting. And so, yes, it's a very clear case to us. It is one that is very evident. Well, yes. I mean, I think for all of us, if we had someone that was standing there saying all these things to us, we'd be tired of them. We'd walk away from them. And then our Lord shows the very opposite. Contrast it with the publican who is praying with his head bowed. He's humbly pleading for the pardon of God, will not even look up to heaven. But even that would be in a way for some of us that we would think, okay, well, that's odd too, because of the approach that he's taking. Because yes, I think it's important for us to realize the need to be balanced, that we have to be careful of extremes, but our Lord was trying to show this extreme because of how very clearly then The Pharisee, even though on the surface, because he gives his tithes, he does his fasting, he's not sinful like these other people, but yet he did not go home justified at all. And justified meaning being pleasing to God, righteous before the eyes of God. And so we may question and wonder then, well, how come the publican can if he's a sinful man? Well, it's because of then the virtue of humility that he acknowledges the fact of his weakness, he acknowledges the fact of his sins, and beseeches God for that pardon. And so that's the important thing for us to try to grasp from this. As I say, we see the very clear cases in sacred scripture of pride, Lucifer, Adam and Eve, and how that they had so much and lost everything because of their pride. That because of them wanting more, Lucifer not willing to worship our Lord or our Lady. And then Adam and Eve wanting to be more like God, having this knowledge. And so from that, we see very clearly then of how they lost everything due to the pride that they had. And so, yes, we can see, okay, then how do we overcome this pride? It is through humility. But it must be a true humility, because again, we run the danger of falling into the false humility. I mean, granted, we don't have that example with the Pharisee at all, because I don't think there's any bone of humility in him, even a false humility. Because all he does is talk about how great that he is compared to everyone else. So a false humility, remembering that with the false humility, it is this idea of kind of downing ourselves in order for other people to pick us up, to have then the praise. So we're still seeking then the praise of other people. So one, we see the Pharisee, he is seeking the praise of other people, but he is promoting himself in order to do so. But a false humility, it would be that we down ourselves in order for other people to say how wonderful we are. That we give this impression, we give this idea that we have this humility, that we're a humble soul, and then everyone else praises us. But we're still seeking that. We're still looking for that praise from others. And that, too, is very dangerous for our soul. As I say, the Pharisee is a clear-cut case. All of us would walk away from that person thinking, they are so full of themselves. This is unbelievable. So we would all walk away from someone like that. But the danger becomes of someone that, yes, has a false humility. One, because maybe they present themselves, well, I don't have this, I can't do this, or I don't, all these different things, wanting other people to praise them. And so they're still seeking then the praise of man. Which one, we have to try to live our lives being pleasing to Almighty God. God is our judge. Mankind, it doesn't matter. Mankind can think highly of us, they can think poorly of us. In the end, it doesn't really matter. Because God is our judge, and that's how we must try to live our lives, always being pleasing to Almighty God. And making sure that our life, yes, is in accordance with Almighty God, not the people around us. And so that's where, when we look at a false humility, it is something that is built on sand. There's not the solid foundation. We do not truly see our soul as God sees it. But again, we just want this, we want the praise of everyone else around us. To be patted on the back. And granted, that can be a natural reaction for any of us. Of wanting to be liked, to be praised. But we have to be careful if we direct our actions just for that. Because in some ways, if we live our life pleasing to Almighty God, people may see that and they may praise us, but it shouldn't affect our actions. It shouldn't change how we live our life. I mean, thanks be to God, if people see a good example in someone, fine. But we have to try to see that our actions must be ones that are directed toward Almighty God and the glory of Almighty God. And so that is why true humility is so important for us to live our lives. I mean, granted, humility is not sanctity, but sanctity is impossible without a true humility. We will not progress in the spiritual life without this idea and this virtue of humility. And it is something that is necessary for us. But I mean, it's a balance. Obviously, we have to be thankful for the gifts and the talents that God has given to us, but always directing it back toward Almighty God. And that's why Our Lady is such a great example of that. Because Our Lady recognizes in the Magnificat, she recognizes the greatness that God has done through her, but it is through God's grace. So again, it's not this idea of false humility. I have nothing, I can do nothing, I have no talents, I have no... It's not that. Yes, if God has given us talents, blessed be God. Praise God and utilize them. Give them to His greater glory. But remember that they come from God, and as easily as God has given them to us, He can take them away. I mean, that's where you think of Job. God giveth, God taketh away. And that's where you have the famous saying of St. Philip Neri. Where he said, basically, God, keep both hands on my head, because otherwise I'll be a heretic tomorrow. I mean, he understood very clearly that without the grace of God, he'd go astray. But yet we see St. Philip Neri, a great saint, because he utilized the talents and the gifts that God has given to him. So yes, humility is very important for us, but there's a danger that we can be fooled into a false humility. And so that's where false humility is a double lie. One, we see in ourselves what is not there and then attribute it to ourselves. And so we may think we have these great qualities and we attribute it to ourselves when in actuality they're not actually there. But then also we say what we don't mean. Because we just want the praise of the people around us. It is those type people that if one person says something, they agree with them. If another person says the exact opposite, but the other person's not around any longer, they agree with those people too. And that's dangerous for us. One, we have to have conviction in what we believe in, not be so wishy-washy that we just go around to what everyone says. Because we want to please everyone. And that is dangerous for us to fall into that trap. And so it's a double lie, false humility. And it's very easy for people to sometimes fall into that and then not see it and then keep going. And then what? Well, they've lived such a lie for most of their lives, then what do? So it's a danger for us. And really, when you look at it, false humility, we only hurt ourselves because we are living a lie. You may fool the people around you, you may fool the priest, you may fool your friends, your family. You'll never fool God. As I say, you can fool yourself. You can fool all the people around you. You can pull the wool over everybody's eyes. But you'll never fool God, and so you live a lie until the end of your life. And then when the Book of Life is opened up, it's all there. And so that's where we have to try to pray for this virtue of humility. As I mentioned, it is not sanctity, but sanctity will not exist without having the foundation of a humble soul. It won't exist without that. So again, in this idea and this understanding of building upon a solid foundation, not sand, your spiritual life must be something that is built on something solid. And so we need to understand that. I mean, granted, yes, we're all called to holiness. Everyone's state in life, they're all called to holiness. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And the saints, they reached this holiness through different means, different paths, but there was always one common denominator. It was this idea and this understanding of the virtue of true humility. As I say, with the saints, yes, they may have recognized the graces, the talents, the gifts that God has given to them, but they always drew it back to Almighty God and never thought of just themselves. This is because of me. No, we recognize the fact of what God has given to us, and then we utilize that for God's greater glory. And that is how we can become greater saints. So, common denominator, true humility before the eyes of God. And so St. Teresa of Avila, she said, humility means to walk in truth. Again, going against that whole idea of living a lie. This false humility, living a lie. So how do we gain that? We gain it through the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To contemplate the words of the Magnificat, this canticle of humility, I encourage you to take a look at the Magnificat, this prayer, this canticle that Our Lady said. As I mentioned, that she acknowledges the fact of the greatness that God has done in her soul. But she always ties it back into, it all stems from the grace of God. And that is why we acknowledge Our Lady being full of grace. And so let us pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. This month of August that we have coming up quickly upon us, there are many, many feasts of the Blessed Virgin Mary in that month. And so take this opportunity now to pray to Our Lady and ask for that help. Ask her to help us to gain this virtue of true humility. Because as I say, even though it's not sanctity in and of itself, it is the foundation for sanctity to grow in your soul. And so ask for that grace now. Beg God for that. Beg Our Lady to help to intercede for you to gain that. So that we can be like the publican, humbly asking God's pardon for being a sinful man. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.